Good morning. Hope you've had a good week. I hope we've met for nothing but the purpose of honoring and adoring the Lord our God today. And if he gets blessed today and honored, then we will as well. So we appreciate each one that's here. And if you're a visitor, we count you as our special and honored guest. So the yellow book is what we'll be doing this morning, number 111. 111. Everybody sing verses 1, 2, and 4. Sounded good. Sounded good. I'm going to go back toward the front of the book and do a song we haven't done in a while, and y'all bear with us. But number four has come to the front and center. Number four, I love this song, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Sam. Thank you, Sister Rachel. Good to see you back this week. We missed you last week, and I know Mother's Day, you spend time with your mothers is what everybody tries to do, and we're thankful that you had that opportunity last week, and we had a good service last week. I said afterwards, it was one of the few times that I've ever had a Mother's Day sermon, and the Lord didn't allow me to preach it. We had a good service. A lot of people testified. Had one that sought the Lord, and we need to continue to remember her in our prayers. I believe that a service for the Lord should always be one in which that the Lord is in control. A lot of churches, we'll say it that way, they have it programmed out. They say, well, we're going to sing this song, that song, and this song, and then we'll pray, and the preacher will make his announcements, and then song, and then preacher will preach for a blank amount of time, and then the service will close out with a song and prayer, and that's we go home. The Lord ought to have control, is the way that I've always been brought up, and I'm thankful that He is wiser than I am. I'm not the one that stays in control, and I'm thankful this morning that we have the ability just to listen to Him, and He will lead us is what He'll do. It's good to see each and every one out today. We appreciate your coming out for our service today. We want to move right along with our service, and we're going to have children's church today, and Brother Tom is going to be taking care of children's church today. Brother Tom, if you will, I'll let you come forward at this time.
All right, everybody ready? Let's go this side today. I think this one's getting worn out. The carpet's about to give out. Let's go over here.
I got stuck over here, didn't I?
Yeah. How's everybody doing? Come on. Bad news. I don't have dollar rings to give everybody today. So this one may not be as lucrative for you, but it's good to see everybody here. Glad you have joined us. Thanks for bringing your mom and dad out to church today. All right, so when I did children's church probably a month or two ago, we talked about kind of what the meaning of life is and what we want to accomplish, and it was to respect God and to keep His commandments. You guys remember that? Thought I would refresh your memory a little bit. But I knew that you left and you were just wondering, well, what are God's commandments that I'm supposed to be keeping? Well, good news for you. They're in the Bible, and there's only 613 of them in the Old Testament. So I thought we would start today and just go through them one by one. And so if everybody wants to get your Bibles and turn over to Deuteronomy, we'll start with number one out of 613. Can you see some of these looks that I'm getting over here? Just kidding. I gotcha. There actually are 613 that are spelled out in the Bible. Have you ever heard of the law that God gave to Moses? There were all of these different commandments that He gave to the children of Israel that they were supposed to do. And we all know the Ten Commandments pretty well, right? Those are probably the ten most famous that God gave to Moses. But there's all these about how the children of Israel were supposed to do sacrifices, they were supposed to have feasts, they were supposed to do the sacrifices a certain way. There's some really... You know, I was looking into it, and there were some things that I didn't know. Like when they were sacrificing animals, did you know that they were supposed to salt it before they did that? That was one of the 613 commandments, so I did tell you one. But we go forward into the New Testament, and Jesus came, and He was here to, what, fulfill the law. And that's what He did with His perfect work on the cross for us. But people were always trying to trick Him, right? Like, that was one of the things. They didn't really like Jesus, and they would always say, well, what about this or what about that? And they would try to catch Him in something. And so we had this one Pharisee one time that approached Jesus, and he said, well, Master, what's the greatest commandment of all? And Jesus had an answer for him. He said, I'll give you not one, but two. And does anybody want to take a guess at what those might have been? Bingo. That was the first one. So there's three different places in the Gospels where this account is given. I like the one over in Matthew. And it has this Pharisee, and he says, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto them, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. So love God first. And then Jesus kept on, though, and he said, The second is likened to it, meaning that it's kind of like it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And then he said this, and this is really important. On these two commandments, so loving God and love one another, he says, hang all the law and the prophets. But you know what that means? That means that's what they're all about. All of the rules and the laws and everything that God has given us really gets summed up into two things. One, it's we should love God first above everything, and then we should love one another as Christ has loved us. So that's a lot easier to remember than 613 different laws, isn't it? You think you guys can remember two things? Love God, love one another. Everybody want to say that? Love God, love one another. Gwen's got it. I don't know about the rest of y'all, but she's got it down. That's all I got for you today. Thank you very much. It was good to see you.
Love God, love one another. And I think that is the basis of us all, isn't it? We are to love the Lord, and we're to love one another is what we're supposed to do, and we are thankful that we have that ability is what we do. It is good to see each and every one out today. We appreciate our visitors being with us. We want you to make yourselves right at home with us today and just come in and just worship with us today in this service. I have a little bit of something that I need to do today. And we have four that are graduating this year from high school. I think is the best way to say that. And we're going to recognize them today. Sean and Abby, would you both please come up? I'm going to make you come up front. Church has a gift for you. A few years ago, we tried to do a little bit of a celebration, but we didn't do a good job of that this time. But we have gifts. Congratulations on your graduation. You're fixing to do, you want to tell everybody?
So I'm going to Embry-Riddle in Daytona Beach to be a pilot. Hopefully I'll get my degree in aeroscience and flight and a commercial flight license.
Bless your heart, son. Thank you. Congratulations on that. Hey, at least I didn't put you first. Abby, bless your heart. You want to tell us what you're going to do?
I'm going to the University of Tennessee Southern for a basketball scholarship.
Bless your heart. And let's pray for both of them that they will always follow the Lord. Down in that area, I think that's south, down towards the Alabama line, let's pray that Abby will be able to find a church when she's down there to go to. He's going to Embry-Riddle at Florida in Daytona. That's where I used to pastor at, just west of there at but that church is no longer there. And I would love that it was still there, that I could refer Sean to it. But it's no longer there. Let's pray that he'll find a place to worship there also. That they will always be a light for the Lord. Now, the other two that are not here is Grant Dillard and Caden Shannon. are the other two graduates that we have. They're not here today. We'll pass these gifts along towards them by family, and we just need to remember them in their prayers. I'm not sure. I know Grant is going to UT. I saw that. I know that tears Chris all to pieces, that he would go to the enemy. No, he's going right where up into East Tennessee. But let's pray that he'll find a good church to go to there. And for Caden, let's pray. I don't know what she's going to do. Stay close. Let's pray for her is what we want. We want to pray for these of our church members in this way. We want to go to the Lord in prayer today, and we ask that each and every one be prayerful for this service. Pray that the Lord will bless. We had a good service last week. If you were blessed in that last week, do not take it for granted that it'll be the same way today. We always have to go to God for our help. So ask the Lord to come into our service, that he'll bless it in a great way, remembering the lost ones that are here, that they might hear something today, either from the message, if God will, that I preach, or from somebody testifying. I believe that's part of preaching, is people telling about being saved. That waters the word is basically what it does. So let's all follow the Lord today in this service. We want to go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Does anybody have a prayer request on your heart? As I said, we need to pray for all of our students. They're getting out of school here in a few weeks, and they need our prayers to get through the next year or so of their lives. We need to continue praying for them, but especially for those that are unsaved. We need to remember them in our prayers. I did get a message this morning from the pastor of the church that I used to pastor up in Carthage, Hogan's Creek. Their revival is starting tonight, and he said we have 10. I always talked about that myself while I was there. 8, 10. For a church of only about, most of the time, between 30, 40, 50 people being in there, to have 10 souls that needs to get saved, they always had plenty. So they've got a lot of work to do this week. And Paul and I ended up naming, I think, just about every one that we thought that he was talking about. So I asked you to pray for those kids. One of them just graduated high school this time also. So remember him in your prayers. That hopefully this revival, his mother and father get to hear something before he goes off to college. And they'll have that peace of knowing that he's saved. But especially him, but all of them. Remember our lost. Anybody else got a prayer request? Lord help. Let's do remember this in our prayers. Somebody else. Yes. Good to see you, Brother Sonny. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Bless you, Brother Sonny. Good to see you able to be back with us today, you and Sister Linda. Good to have you all today back. Somebody else? Another prayer request? As I said, let's remember our lost ones. You pray for this service. In a way of announcement, this service is a little different today because of Mother's Day last week. We did not have our business meeting. We will have our business meeting this afternoon after our service today. I meant to mention that earlier, so we need to keep that on our hearts too. Be prayerful for it, that it'll be what the Lord would have it to be. We're going to call on one to start our prayer, but we want everybody to pray in your own way. Brother Sean, if you would, you're a graduate. We want you to lead us in prayer today, if you would, please.
Thank you. You may be seated. Let's continue our song service with an old favorite, 154, The King is Coming, 154. Good. You got that, Miss Rachel? 180. Thank you for that suggestion. I always have a list here, kind of a go by, but if the Lord wants you to request a song, and if we can do it, why, we will do that. But we want to turn over and do number 11 right now, becoming quickly one of my favorite songs. It's right up there with the other one. And I'll ask you, is it well with your soul? When you lay down to sleep at night, do you have that assurance?
Yep.
That if you don't wake up tomorrow, you'll be with glory. How many are can say it's well with my soul?
Amen.
God bless you. Go ahead, Miss Rachel. Very good.
Y'all today. Appreciate the good singing this morning, good songs. I just pray that the Lord has stirred your hearts today, and I think he has some, especially. That last song should stir us up. If it's well in your soul today, that ought to stir something. Because it should remind us that we have a home in heaven, first of all. That we have a great big brother, Jesus. And we have a great heavenly Father, God. And those things ought to stir us up, is what it should do. Does anybody have a word of testimony or anything on your heart this morning? Good to see everybody here today. As I said before, we always want to follow the Lord. It's good to have our visitors with us. As I said earlier, it's good to see Brother Sonny and Miss Linda back with us. They hadn't been with us in a little while due to sickness. Let's do remember our others that are sick. Brother Slick and Miss Barbara are still down. We need to remember them. Brother Randall, and need to remember him. He's still down. Let's just pray for each and every one. Do need to remember Brother Roger also. He's not doing as well, maybe a little better from my understanding, but we do need to remember him in our prayers. I'm satisfied everybody's a little bit busy right now. Graduations, family get-togethers. Miss Barbara Hibden, she talked about that she's got decoration where her husband's buried, and family reunions. It's something always, isn't it? But let's be about God's business today. If no one has anything on your heart, look at the 13th chapter of 2 Kings. I'll give you a moment or two to get there. 2 Kings, the 13th chapter. And I ask that you pray that the Lord's will be done today in this service, that it'll be what he wants it to be. When I got this thought the other day, I thought, well, this is going to be a little bit different today. So you be prayerful that it'll be what the Lord would have it to be in this service today. 2 Kings, 13th chapter. We're going to start reading with 14th verse, and it says, "And Elisha," that's the prophet of God, was fallen sick of his sickness, whereof he died. In other words, he was at that point where he was fixing to die of this particular sickness. And it says, "And Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him and wept over his face and said, O my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof." In other words, he was crying out saying, I know you're fixing to die. The chariot of the Lord's fixing to come after you, isn't it? And he was in a great distress. This man had been an advisor to him in his ministry. So now he was in a distress. And Elisha said unto him, take bow and arrow. And he took it unto him bow and arrows. And he said unto the king of Israel, put thine hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon it, and Elisha put his hand upon the king's hand. And that was significant of being God's authority and power upon Joash at this time. And he said, open the window eastward. And he opened it, and Elisha said, shoot. And he shot. And he said, and the arrow of the Lord's deliverance, and the arrow of deliverance from Syria, for thou shalt smite the Assyrians in Aphek till thou have consumed them. And he said, take the arrows, and he took them, and he said unto the king of Israel, smite upon the ground, and he smote thrice and stayed. In other words, he took the other three other arrows that he had in his hand, and he reached down and he went one, two, three, just like that is what he did. He smote the ground with them. Now it says, and the man of God was wroth with him. Why would he be angry with him for just taking those arrows and just smiting three times? What's all this mean? And he said, thou shouldest have smitten five or six times. Then hadst thou smitten Syria till thou hast consumed it. Whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice. Now that's our reading lesson today. That's reading verses 14 through 19 for our reading lesson today. A little different reading lesson, you might say, especially for what this thought is. And I'm going to ask every one of you, how many of you have goals for your lifetime? Can I see a show of hand? Have you got a goal in mind for your lifetime? Well, not as many as I thought. Did you hear what Sean and Abby said a while ago? What they were fixing to do? He was going to Emory-Riddle to be a pilot. Abby was going down to Southern University to further her education and play basketball. That's goals in mind, isn't it? How many of you as parents had in mind a goal for your children? You thought sure that they were going to be the president of the United States. Any of you have that thought? How many of you had in mind that maybe they would follow in your footsteps as far as the family business is concerned? I have a good friend. I saw him last week, first time in, I guess, probably 49 years. His father was a banker, and the idea was for him to follow in his father's footsteps and to take over the bank that they run there in our area. That boy was not going to be a banker. I know that Mr. Walter Glenn had that in his mind probably from the day that boy was born, but that was not in the cards for Birdie, as we called him. But the idea is, many times we have a goal in mind for our children or for ourselves, and what we end up doing is we instill into them that goal, but it's not always meant to be. But our intentions are good, aren't they? We had intention for them to be the very best kid they could possibly be. I know for a fact my mother and father had no goal of me being a preacher of the gospel. They had no intention of wishing that upon me. But the Lord had another idea. Do you realize the Lord's got goals for you? He does. And that's what this story is really about here today, to begin this message. When that Joash went in before the prophet of God, he thought he was going to see him for the last time. He didn't realize that the Lord had a goal for him to deliver Israel from Syria in this visit here. But did he match up to the cause? You see, that's why the prophet was mad at him in that day. He wanted him to take the goal of God to smite the Assyrians. He said, now you're shooting this arrow, and that is the deliverance that God is going to grant to you. Then he tells him, he said, now smite these arrows on the ground. I'm going to ask you a question. How many times, if somebody had told you, smite these arrows on the ground, how many times would you have done it? Once, twice, three? Or would you have been one of those that would have just really worked him out, even to the point of breaking the arrows at that time? I'm satisfied Joash didn't have the slightest idea what was going on here. But the idea is that God had a goal for Joash to follow. Do you realize God's got goals for you today? He does. He's got goals for you to do. A goal is something that you have in mind that you want to do, right? You have in your mind that you're going to be something in particular in your life. I'm satisfied Brother Jerry, sometime or another, decided he wanted to be the best barber he could be. I'm satisfied some of these ladies had the idea they was going to be the best cook that there was for their family. Some of them had the idea they was going to be the best veterinarian. Some of them had ideas being accounted. Some had the idea they was going to do particular works. But what about your goals for God today? I want to get to your mind today. Most of us, when we're getting out of school, we had in mind we were going to do particular things. I remember even though I was called to preach, my idea of a goal at that time was I was going to farm, I was going to take care of my family's farm, I was going to farm for the rest of my life. That was my goal at that time. But goals change, don't they? But I want to ask you today, do you have a goal for God? That's the thought today. Do you have a goal for God? I don't know how many of these different goals, these are the things that came to mind with Scripture and everything, but I want you to use these as goals that you can serve God in your life today. That's one of the best things that I can recommend to any of these kids that's growing up, that's been saved, that you would try your best to live for the Lord. That is the greatest thing that you could ever do in your life. You may not be a preacher. You may have to preach, though. You may not be a singer, but you might need to sing. You may not be a deacon, but you may be one to serve. You may not be one that needs to do other things in the church, but there may be jobs that you can do in the church. And that's one of the things that I want you to do today in your mind. What is your goal today? I'm going to give you some suggestions today as far as goals are for God. The very first goal that every human being should have in their mind is that they might be saved. If you are not saved by the grace of God today, I want you to understand, you're one step behind right now. I've listened to individuals that had made millions, even billions of dollars, and they had in their minds that they were going to do something great in their lives. They were going to build a great empire, if you want to call it that, as far as business was concerned, but when it came down to it, they had to do one thing first, and that is get started in their life. And in the spiritual life and with God, the very first step is being saved by the grace of God. If you're not saved here today, I want you to understand something. The best thing you can never do is give your heart to the Lord, forsaking everything else. The scripture says, Jesus doing the speaking, he said, except you forsake father, mothers, houses, land, yea, even your own life, ye shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of God. What he is telling you today is to turn from everything else. Brother Stewart brought up repentance in our Sunday school lesson today. That is basically what repentance is turning away from our own thoughts, our own mind, our own ways of living, our own things that we want, and turning to the Lord. Him and Him only is what it is. Now, I want you to have, and if you're going to get saved, you're going to have a certain kind of attitude. If you're going to be successful, if Sean's going to be a pilot, he can go to that school and he can take the classes, but if he don't get into the plane, he's never going to be a pilot, are you? He's got to get into the plane. So in order to get saved, you've got to get into your mind. You want to be saved. I want to give you a scripture out of the 16th chapter of Acts. And it's talking about a man who was a jailer. He was a man that no doubt had killed many people. He was a man that had mistreated many people. He no doubt was a man that was an evil man according to the ways of those days. But in this scripture here, it says that Paul and Silas sang and prayed there that day. And as this man was standing outside of the prison, these men had already been beaten. They were already shackled by their legs. They were held in a terrible place. But these men were singing and praising God in that day. And that man heard it. And then when the earthquake came, it shook him. He knew he wasn't right with God. He knew that his heart was lost. He knew that if he had died there in that moment in time, that hell was going to be his home. Matter of fact, he knew he was fixing to die because he thought all the prisoners had escaped and he'd be held responsible. But Paul cried out to him and said, "Do thyself no harm, for we're all here." Now, why does that make a difference? This is a person that had a goal to serve God. Now I'm talking about Paul and Silas. They had a mind in them that they were going to sing praises to God regardless of what they had going on in their life. No matter how much pain they was in this time, they were in service to God. But in that moment in time, this man knew these men had something that he did not. So what did he do? He came into the prison that day and he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Now I want you to think about this. If you're not saved today, what are you going to do in order to get saved? Think about it. Well, I've prayed before. I've tried to pray. I've tried to do what I can. I understand that. I did that over a 3-year period myself, thinking that I was doing everything, just what I needed to do, but I still wasn't getting saved, just like you are. But the idea that I want you to remember is, now death is on your heels, just like it was for this man. And what he said, "Sir, what must I do to be saved?" And Paul said unto him, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." You want to see some faith out of a man? He said, "Not only will you be saved, but your whole household will be." Now, that's faith in God by the man of God. I want us to all have faith that these kids that are lost back here and that are being hard-hearted about their souls, we need to have faith that they're going to get saved and that they are going to lead their children. When they get to a time, they'll lead their children to the Lord. So the very first goal that you need to have is to be saved. Now, the next goal that you should have is to be baptized. Follow the Lord in baptism. You want to join the Lord's church. In Acts 2:38, It tells us to, it commands us to be baptized, not for our salvation, but to be baptized into the body of Christ. If you go over and look at Galatians, in the third chapter, in the 27th verse, Paul writes, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, he says, have put on Christ. You see, you may think, well, it doesn't mean anymore. I'm saved. I don't have to join the church. I don't have to be baptized. First of all, you're disobeying God. I want you to get that. You are disobeying God. You're not disobeying mom and daddy. Maybe you are. Maybe they've instructed you to do that. But I want you to understand something worse. You're disobeying God. He wants you to be baptized into the body of Christ is what he wants you to do. He wants you to feel the need to be a part of a body. In 1 Corinthians, and I think it's the 14th chapter. It's in there. It talks about the different things. It's in the 12th chapter where it talks about the different works of them. And it takes all of them to make up a body. So your goal ought to be baptized into the church and be a part of that church in work is what you should do. You should have that kind of desire today. And what I'm trying to get over to you today is these goals will prosper you in the ways of God. It'll make you happy in the Lord is what it will do. I want to drop down. I wasn't going this way just yet, but I want us to go over to Matthew, the 5th chapter is where I want us to go. In Matthew, the 5th chapter, this is part of the Beatitudes that Jesus started out with on the Sermon on the Mount. But if you'll look at verse 6, he said, "Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." See, what I'm talking about today, if you'll hunger after God's righteousness, after his ways, after his service unto the Lord, you know what? You'll be filled up with God. You know that feeling when you first got saved? Boy, it was good, wasn't it? That feeling that you had when you first got saved, boy, you was happy inside. There was a joy and peace that was there. And all of that together was just working inside of you so much. Whew, there was nothing like it, was it? It's no better feeling than that. Do you realize you can have it again? Most of us, we get saved. Next thing we know, we're back out into the world and we're cold. We're taking care of work. We're taking care of kids. We're taking care of this thing and that thing. And you know what we end up doing? We just forget about God. And what we end up being is kind of hollow. We're saved, but we're hollow. We're just hollow inside. There's something missing in us. But if you'll follow God, if you'll join his church and you'll start to work in there, and then if you'll start to seek his righteousness. And when I say seek his righteousness, I'm talking about feeling the goodness of God inside of you and working inside of you. It'll start filling up that place in you. When people today are seeking out in their lives for something better, what they need to do is to seek out God. There's a world of people out there that are looking for a party to make them happy. There's a world of people that are looking for a bottle to make them happy. They're looking for a shot of something that will make them happy. They're looking for something that'll take the weight off that will make them happy. Why are they seeking all of these things? They're hollering inside. They need to be filled up. They need to seek after the righteousness of God. Not just the salvation, but living for God, living for Him in the Lord's church, working for Him, testifying for Him, singing praises unto Him, not only in the church building, but also outside of the church building. Paul and Silas were not in a church building, were they? They was in jail. There's times throughout the Bible that we see individuals serving God. Now, I'm asking you back up to our reading lesson today. How many of these are your goals so far? Maybe you haven't put them in place just yet. I've just mentioned three. But would you strike once and be enough? Would you strike twice and that be enough? Maybe it's three times and maybe you need to go further than that. So what would be the next goal that you ought to have? One of the things that I've talked about a lot as of late is that we need to be designed to see individuals saved. I tell you what, if you've really been saved, you ought to want somebody else saved. I've watched it many times over the years when that sinners would come down to the altar and pray one, two, and three in time. Remember a few years ago when we were blessed to see the kids get saved, we had three girls lined up right here. One of them got saved. You know what the other one did? They got right up there and they stood with them. You remember the others over here? Like Ben was one of the ones who got saved over here. You know what he did? He came right over here. He had a desire to see somebody saved. Did you have a desire when you first got saved? Did you have a desire to see somebody saved? You know what Paul's turn was? He in the seventh, I'm in the wrong place here. In the book of Romans, in the 10th chapter, brethren, my heart's desire is that, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Now, who was Israel? That was his family. That was his people. You know what my heart's desire is today? That if you're in this church house today, my heart's desire is that you come under conviction and that you get saved. Do you have that kind of desire for them? You know, you're saying, preacher, you're asking awful hard things. I'm not one that I would be one that would go out and talk to individuals, even speak the Lord's names to individuals. But you know what the Lord wants out of you? He just wants something simple. Now, I bragged on Brother Lowell here a couple weeks ago. I'm going to do it again because I'm going to use him as an example. And you, most of you heard the other day, we was in Lowell's and I run into Brother Lowell Davenport in there, and I run into him in the aisle. He was sitting there in his wheelchair and a man walked between us and he just stopped and he said, "Sir, where do you go to church at?" Very simple question. He didn't ask him about being saved. He didn't start a big conversation with him. Man ended up talking to us quite a bit about church and the Lord. That's all it took just to get started. One simple question. It doesn't have to be, where do you go to church? It can be, are you saved? Do you know the Lord? Do you have an experience of salvation? If you ask the question, if they're not saved, you may get the opportunity to tell somebody about your salvation. Well, what good does that do? It shows them there's something different about you than they are as far as being sinners. Think about that. That's not much, is it? That's not much, is it? Actually, the Lord, when he asked Joash, that's not very much, is it? Just reach down, take those arrows, smite them on the ground. Three times? Oh, God's got a goal for you. Do you know what it is? What is your goal for God? Maybe it's just getting saved and joining the church, being a part of the church. Maybe it's that you're the one that gets filled up. You know, that's something we don't see in our churches near enough. In our churches, we were blessed last week to get to see a couple people get filled up in the Spirit. Yeah, the Spirit got into it. They got filled up. It bled over into others that could testify. Maybe we all didn't get the same blessing that they did, but I'm telling you what it does do. It helps all of us. God's got a goal for you. Don't stop just with one or two things and being saved. Definitely do not stop with just being saved. Step up to the plate. Patrick's talking about Brantley. Brantley's playing baseball. Brantley has gotten to the place. He'd been hitting real good. But lately he's been standing up there. When that ball comes in, he's doing this number. Whoop. How many of you played baseball or softball once? How many of you can hit running away from the ball? Can't do it, can you? If you look, look over into John. No. Where are we going here? Ephesians. Ephesians in the Ephesians in the third chapter. Ephesians in the third chapter says this. No, I'm in the wrong place. Excuse me. I'm in the wrong place. Let's go to Hebrews. This is the verse I'm going to get. This is where I'm going to stop at. I may tell you what my other goals may be, but I want you to get this one. 10th chapter,
Hebrews, verse 38. Now the just shall live.
Do you live by faith? That's quoting a scripture out of Habakkuk, where you'll find that quotation there. The just shall live by faith. It's not an easy thing to do, is it? Have faith enough that you're going to live by that faith. I've been talking to some people lately about financing, about retirement and such as that. I've already got mine in place and everything, but I'm trying to keep what I got. And we were talking about years ago when I had a retirement plan. I was telling Brother Sam about this the other day. I said, I got to a place after we moved to Florida and my retirement was sitting there. I had a pretty good amount set up. And I was looking at it, seeing what it was doing, my particular plan, what it was doing. And it kind of hit me. You need to move that from out of there into a more secure place. I thought, yeah, I need to do that. And I put it off. You might think, well, what's this got to do with the sermon? I told him in a matter of weeks, it went half. Lost it. Lost half of it. Oh, man, that hurt. Financially, it hurt. Now, where did my warning come from? It came from God. You know what? He'd done that three different times, and I still ain't learned it real good, have I? I lost all three times, but the Lord was gracious enough to me to use it to bring it back up that I might have it for this day. Now, that's God's grace. But if I had paid attention to Him, in that moment, I wouldn't have suffered loss. Now, I want you to look at this verse again. Verse 38. Now, the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Did you notice that word, draw back? All right, men. Were you always bold with young women? Most time it was up to us to ask the girls out, wasn't it? In my day anyway. Ooh, I have in mind, I wanted to go out on a date with a particular young lady. You know what I'd do? I'd get right up to the place. I'll ask her later.
know what I did? I sat at home on Saturday night.
You ever felt like working for God? The Lord impressed you? All I got to do is just say something to him about it. I asked him later. You drawed back, didn't you? You ever thought what that might have done in that moment in time? I tell you all the time, the Lord's got a reason for you testifying. Now, we had a good service last week, but I'm going to tell you something. They were somebody that held back. Am I not right? Examine yourself. Did you hold back? You know what you did? You hindered the cause. It might have been somebody else that was lost here that would have sought the Lord if you'd have went and talked to him. I'm going to tell you one more, and I'm going to hush with this, Brother Sam. You can get ready. I'm about done. And I think I've told this here before. Years ago, I was visiting a church, and I listened to a preacher. He preached a great sermon. During the sermon, I was sitting up in the amen corner. It was one of these that sat right over here, just up with the pulpit. And I was sitting over there, and I looked around, and I noticed this boy on about the, I guess, second or third seat. He'd been kin to you, by the way. He was sitting on the second or third seat was what he was doing. He was sitting with Miss Cornelia Reed. And he was sitting there, and I could see the conviction on his face. And I thought, sure, when that preacher got done preaching, well, he'll go to the altar, he'll trust the Lord, and he'll get saved. He never moved. The Lord was saying, you go. And what I did? Ah, Lord, somebody, the preacher go to him, he'll go. Preacher got down out of the pulpit. He done just like I asked. Preacher got down out of the pulpit, went over to him, spoke to him a few minutes. No, 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 no. Y'all ever get caught like that? You ever do that? Oh, goodness, I thought surely he'd go. I thought, well, if his grandmother will speak to him. Meant she right put her arms around him. She talked to him a few minutes. No, 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 no. Lord's still telling me, you better get over there. I done backed up twice. All right, Lord. I'll go. I stepped down out of that pool from that stand and I started across the church house. He looked up at me and there was tears in his eyes. I don't remember what I said. I'm not telling you this to build me up. I don't take it as that. I want you to understand something. I've been exactly where you're at. I think I said maybe one word to him, and he broke. He went to the altar. And after, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes, I was standing on this side. He was over here. And man, he come up rejoicing. He trusted in the Lord. He got saved. It wasn't nothing I did. If somebody gets saved when we have a goal to serve God and it follows through, it's not us. It's God that gets the glory for it. But don't be surprised if God don't send a pat on the back. There was an old preacher. Stepped up behind me. And he said, see what happens when you follow the Lord. Ooh, boy, that's good advice. We can't draw back. Take that walk of faith. Let me give you my other ones. I ain't going to preach on them. Brother Sam, I'm closing out with this. Remember, first goal is get saved. Second goal, be baptized into the Lord's church. Third is see someone else get saved. Fourth, be filled up with God. Fifth is follow in spirit. I went all around that one today. I ain't done it. But living by faith. Learning about God. That's just selfie. There's a lot of other goals you can have. Now, how many of us have a sports idol? Football player, basketball. How many of us have one that we look up to? You know how they got to be great? They practiced. How do you get to be good at serving God? It takes practice. You may not be the best one at talking to somebody right now, but if you'll practice it, you'll get better at it. Maybe the first time all you do is just say, "Are you saved?" And you just say, "I'm praying for you." Maybe you say, "Come to our church." Maybe say something else. You know what happened? Next thing you know, you can be able to say something else a little bit more. And next thing you may realize is somebody pats you on the back and says, "See how what the Lord can do when you follow God." These are a few goals. I'm not saying you have to adopt every one of them. I'm going to tell you, start out wherever you're at and start looking to fill or make one of those goals. And then step up to the next. While we stand and sing, sinner friend, if you're here today and you know that you're a sinner, right now's the best time to get started with that first goal, getting saved. While we stand and sing.
256. 256.